This morning, I want to talk about how is faith released? How is faith released? Go to Hebrews chapter 11. So we're going to continue with this series, God-pleasing faith. How is faith released? Remember last week we were talking about faith's got to be heard and believed to profit. And that's good, but how do you release your faith? We need to understand this, because if we're going to live by faith, if faith pleases God, then we want to know how to release our faith, which brings pleasure to our Father. Amen? If we don't understand how faith works and how faith is released, well, it's going to be difficult for us to please God. We want to please God. He's a God that's worth, you know, the pleasure of his people. But Hebrews chapter 11, read with me from verse 1, King James. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Remember we said a few weeks ago, faith is evidence. Remember that? The word is evidence. You need no other evidence outside this book. If you're looking for something outside the scriptures, you're going to struggle in your Christian walk. Someone needs to hear that. If you're looking for evidence outside the word of God, you don't understand faith. Faith is based on what God said, nothing else. Don't add to it, don't take from it. If you believe it and receive it, you're in faith. And your life will change if you are walking that journey. So, it's the substance. It's the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2, for by it the elders obtained a good report. A good report, not an evil report, a good report. Look at verse 3. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So they were formed by God's command. That's what the New Living Translation says. So, but the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So what that's saying is when God created, he didn't create from nothing. He created from something that we couldn't see or wasn't visible. So creation didn't come from nothing. It came from an unseen realm, which is a spiritual realm, because God well and truly existed before he created. So, but there's a point here, and this is what we want to understand. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the what? The word of God. The worlds were framed by the word of God. So if we want to understand the genesis of faith and how faith operates, you're going to have to go back to the beginning, which is what we're going to do right now. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. It didn't take too many verses in the beginning of the Bible for God to say something. It's not as if, you know, we study the first 60 pages of Scripture and then God spoke. No, I want you to see the significance of God speaking, because everything comes from that which is spoken. Have a look at it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. What did God say next? And God said. Verse 3 of chapter 1. And God said. So the first verse of Scripture is saying that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. How did he do that? God said. That's how he did it. Now, I'm not going to go reading all through chapter 1, but 11 times in the first chapter of the Bible, God said, and it was so. God said, and it was so. God said, it was good, and then it was very good. We must learn something from this. When God spoke, something came into manifestation. Now you might be thinking, well, what's that got to do with us? That's God. He's the king of the universe. He's the creator of all things, and we're just puny man. Well, if you've got that concept of yourself, you have no idea about what you've been created to be. In fact, if you look at chapter 2 of Genesis, verse 7, have a look at it. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life. God breathed something of himself into us. He breathed something of himself into man, and man became a living, speaking spirit. That's the original meaning of that. If you study the Hamash and the rabbinic teachings, it says he became, in the King James, he became a living soul. Better translation, a living, speaking spirit. Well, of course he created man to be a living, speaking spirit, because we've got a dominion blessing. You've got to go back to the chapter 1 again in verse 28. Read with me. 26. No, actually, yeah, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Our image, in our likeness. Didn't say let's make man in the image of a monkey. No, he said in our image, in our likeness. Wow, we're the God class people. We're not subordinate to animals. We didn't come from animals. We are created by God. And we have the Spirit of God in us, which gives us life. You've got to understand this. The enemy's done such a good job of reducing man to some lower level nature. The reason why we are superior to all animals is we're living, speaking spirits. God breathed something into man. He breathed himself. He didn't do that with animals. He did it to man. Why he made man in the God class. And then it goes on to say, let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. Go down to verse 28. And God blessed them. And God said, this is the blessing. Now you might think, well, that was then. The blessing doesn't apply today. My response to that, rubbish. That blessing is as powerful now as when God spoke it all those years ago. God's word doesn't change. People have this concept, oh, you know, when Jesus laid hands on someone, then that was during his ministry and it isn't applicable today. That's rubbish. The word doesn't change. The power of the word doesn't change. But if only Jesus was in the church, and why do you need Jesus present? That's why he had to go. That's why he said to his disciples, if I don't go, I can't send the comforter, the counselor, the advocate, the standby, the one who's going to breathe, you know, truth into you. He had to go, so they weren't living by sight. They would live by faith. Can you see it? So he says, he blessed them and said, look what he said. Be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. So we're living, speaking spirits. This creative ability is unique to man. You can't have dominion without speaking words of life. God gave man that dominion ability because man's a speaking spirit. If we weren't a speaking spirit, we wouldn't have dominion ability. If we didn't have the power to use our words to create, to bind and to loose and to change circumstances, to bring down a blessing or to take authority over a curse, if we didn't have the power to do that, that blessing that God gave is irrelevant to us. Totally irrelevant. Because he says, I blessed you to have dominion. Now go and subdue the earth. Well, are we? Do you believe this? Do you believe that you have the Spirit of God in you, not some subordinate spirit? You've got the Spirit of the Creator inside you, and he's given you a dominion blessing which he will never remove. this is just starting to penetrate some people now. That's why if we're going to release faith, if we're going to release faith through words, we have to believe what this book says, because that's how faith is released. Words. That's how God intended it to be. That's how we have dominion over every circumstance in our life. I mean, yesterday morning, I probably wouldn't have been up here preaching right now with the cough I had. You've got to speak life over yourself. You got to say, you know what, devil? You're not stopping me preaching the gospel, and he can't. But, you know, you got to stop talking about what you have and start believing what you've got and start believing what you have. That's a promise. And you declare it over yourself. Well, you know, no, by his stripes I was healed. How often do you say it? Say it as long as you have to until it manifests or until your thinking changes and you believe it. Well, am I at the front here this morning preaching the gospel? Why? Dominion blessing. Speak life. Stop telling the world what the problem is. Declare the promise. The promise of God is for us, not against us. God loves his children. So we have the power. There's no active faith. Listen to this. There's no active faith without words. Impossible. There's no active faith without words. There's no active prayer by meditating prayer. You speak prayer. When you pray, say, Our Father, or whatever it is you're praying. You can't pray a prayer in your head. I've never seen an example of it in Scripture yet. Never. Not a once. Never did Jesus pray a prayer in his head. You can meditate the Word of God and do all those things. You can reflect and imagine things. But when you pray to the Father, you pray in the name of Jesus. Speak words. Why? Because words are filled with life. If your words align to this book, if they don't align to this book, they're not filled with life. This dominion blessing is for those that take this word and run with it, and they will get what they believe. It's impossible not to get God's word active in your life if you stand on it, because he says you will. Now, we're going to take that a bit further in a moment. Just have a look at 2 Corinthians 4:13 for a moment. Just quickly fast forward to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We have a spirit of faith, do we not? It's a spirit of faith that resides in us. It's a spirit of faith. We haven't got the spirit of the world. We haven't got the spirit of fear. We've got the spirit of faith. So, you know, our declaration, our stand, our belief should reflect the spirit that we are of. And that is a spirit where God cannot fail, where God cannot change, where God's word will not change. And we have the victory. It's overcoming victory in him. Look what it says in verse 13 of 2 Corinthians 4. We having the same spirit of faith according as it is written. And of course, that's referring to Psalm 116, verse 10. I believe and therefore have I spoken. We also believe and therefore speak. Remember, there's no active faith without words. No active faith without words. So that takes us to the principle of Mark 11, 23. Let's go to Mark very, very quickly. Just want to touch on a few things this morning. Now, when you study out Mark 11, and we know those who have read this and studied it out will know that, you know, as a result of a tree that wasn't producing fruit, God, Jesus spoke to it and that tree died. Now, you know, it's not that, you know, Jesus had an issue with trees and he wasn't an environmentalist. That's not why he did that. He wanted to use this as a teaching point for his disciples. This was an example. Not only was it an example for the disciples that were with him, it's an example for every believer today that opens this book up and studies this word. Because he's saying, like that tree, I'm going to show you the power of words. So look what he says. Look what he says. Verse 22. And Jesus answered and said to them, Actually, I want to go back to verse 21. And Peter called to remembrance, said to him, Master, behold, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. That tree died at the root. Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Or have the faith of God. For verily or truly I say to you, that whosoever shall say, are you a whosoever? Does that only apply to 12 disciples or does it apply to everyone? Anyone who believes. Whosoever, listen to it, shall say to this mountain, be removed. So he's talking to a mountain. He's pointing to a mountain. That mountain be removed and you be cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. He shall have whatever he says. Now, I want to make a point here. It didn't say you'll have whatever you believe, did it? You can believe right and speak wrong. Many do. You can believe right, but be speaking all the wrong words and you're not activating the dominion blessing that's on the life of a believer. You can have all the belief in your heart, but your words are filled with unbelief. Won't work. There's got to be agreement. There's got to be harmony between words and believing. So you can have what you say. It didn't say what you believe. So are your words in harmony with what you're believing? And look at verse 24 says, therefore I say to you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believing that you receive them and you shall have them. That means the believing occurs when you pray. Is that right? Not when you get it. So Father, I'm believing for whatever it is. You know, I'm just hoping and wishing. I know one day it's going to come because I'm believing. That's not believing. That's not faith. That's not Bible faith. No, Bible faith is, Father, I thank you. I believe I receive that need right now in Jesus' name. It's done. I've got it. That's Bible faith. You know you're not in Bible faith when you keep rehearsing what you haven't got. Hear me, people. You need to hear this. I need to hear it. You're not in Bible faith when you keep rehearsing what you believed for, but you haven't got it yet, and you keep rehearsing what you haven't actually got. Bible faith says, I believe I receive when I pray. And then you thank God and you just stand in faith and make declarations of thanksgiving and blessing until that manifests in your life. No, I didn't say that. The Bible says it. Say it again. Therefore, I say to you, what things soever, whatever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, in brackets, when you pray, and you shall have them. The believing always precedes the receiving. It doesn't work the other way. If I have it, I don't need to believe for it. I believe for it when I haven't got it. That's the difference. This is the key principle that so many of God's precious people struggle with. The idea that how can you believe you've received something when you don't physically have it? Well, what's physical reality got to do with faith? Faith's an unseen truth. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. And that's the difference. We don't need to see to believe. Believing is seeing. Amen? So, you can doubt in your head and still believe in your heart. Absolutely. You can have faith in your heart and the devil's just pumping you, trying to bring you down. You can have doubts in your head, but your faith's in your heart. You can still have faith in your heart. Why is that? Well, you know, faith is a product of the recreated human spirit. It's a spiritual force, not a natural force. So you've got faith in your heart, believing for something, and there's all this bombardment going on in your mind. That's where there's a battleground. And you might have some doubts in your head, but say, no, no, Lord, I'm believing in my heart. Faith in the heart is not in the head. Now, an example of that. We're not going to turn there, but in Mark chapter 9, verse 22 and 23, you've got that, the man that he went to some of Jesus' disciples to to have his son delivered of a demonic influence on him. And of course, the disciples couldn't cast the devil out, which is very unfortunate. And of course, you know, then he presented himself to Jesus and he says his words, he says, if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. So he says, if you can do anything, Lord, if you can do anything, just have compassion on me and my son, help us. He throws, he foams at the mouth, he falls into fires and the devil tries to drown him. This boy's in a bad place, demonized. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Well, what was Jesus' response? Interesting, isn't it? He said this, if you can believe. He says, if you can do anything, he says, if you can believe. He had to turn it around. He had to get this guy into a place where he understood what faith was. He says, well, if you can believe, all things are possible to those that believe. And he said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help that part that I'm struggling with. I believe. Can you just help me get over the line with just this area that I'm struggling in? And of course, that was enough for faith to act. And that boy was delivered. Now, did that unbelief there, that struggle he had, did that disqualify him? Yes or no? No, it didn't disqualify him. He said, Lord, I believe. Help me with some of the areas that I'm struggling in. And Jesus moved on his behalf. Don't beat yourself up because you struggle in your walk of faith. Keep going. And if you've got an area where there's a struggle, say, Lord, I believe. Help me with this unbelief that I'm trying to get over the line on. God will come through for you. It didn't disqualify that man. His son was delivered. It won't disqualify us. God loves us. He wants us to walk in victory, but the only way we're going to walk in victory is the faith way. There's no other way, people. No other way. If this church and all the others all over the world aren't preaching the principles of faith, how does the church actually grow in the things of God? How's it possible? When the just shall live by faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For those that come to God must believe that he is and the rewarder of those who diligently seek him by faith. So with those few scriptures alone, we can absolutely conclude you can't do anything in the realm of the Spirit apart from and through faith. Nothing. That's pretty sobering. But we've got the word to teach us. Amen. So, we can walk in victory. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 5. Now, this has been preached forever, and it's so good talking about Jairus and the woman. And I want to talk about it again this morning. And over the next few weeks, we are going to look at Bible examples of this principle of how faith's released. But, you know, the reason why we want to study these out is we can learn things from these great examples in the Bible of how faith is applied and the result of it. You can never, ever get an overdose of the word. You can't overdose on this book. Just keep reading it. Keep taking your medicine every day. You can't overdose on this one. No side effects, only good outcomes. Guaranteed. They need to plug that on one of those nighttime, you know, ads, which I never watch anyway, because I don't watch TV. But, you know, I'm sure with all the ads, they talk about medicines and don't they put a little fine print down the bottom about all the deadly side effects of them and they go for about 2 seconds and you can't read them because one of them is death. Some of these side effects of medicines, I tell you what. But this one, no side effects. Only good. Why? Because God is good. His mercy endures forever. All right, let's read with me from Mark chapter 5, and I want to read from verse 21. And we're going to go through a fair bit of this, most of it. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was near to the sea. And behold, there came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet, He fell at his feet. That's worship. Worship is not singing, that's praise. Worship is when you have this position, the way you position yourself with God. He fell at his feet, that was an act of worship, and besought or begged him greatly, saying, "My little daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay your hands on her, that she may be healed and she shall live." He just released his faith with those words. Don't miss that. If you miss that, you miss the whole point of this. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. Those words was his faith being released. Now, hold that thought, because there's some interruptions along the way. Now, there's no other record of him saying another word. And we're going to touch on that point too. They're the words he spoke. The Bible doesn't record Jairus speaking another word other than those words. Now, should those words then produce after themselves? You're going to see just how much they did. Exactly how he spoke it. This is a principle, people. Once you put the word out, don't rip up your seed and don't change your confession of faith because some circumstance in the natural change. Can I say this? When you stand in faith for something, you can expect the devil is going to want to shift you from your position of standing firm. He's going to just try and nudge you off your faith stand. He doesn't want you to be a giant in faith. He wants you to be in doubt and unbelief, and he wants you to withdraw yourself from God. Don't withdraw, press forward. When you've made your stand of faith, stand. And when you've done all to stand, keep standing. Now, to do that, you're going to have to keep your words aligned to what you said. This is so important. You might be thinking, oh, this is all too hard. It's not when you get the glorious promise that comes with the words. How long does it take to stand? As long as it takes. As long as it takes. But if you're willing to stand forever, it won't be too long. How long are you willing to stand? As long as it takes, Lord, it won't take long. God knows what he's doing. Now let's have a look. Jesus went with him, verse 24, and much people followed him and thronged him. This is a press. There's a lot of people in this. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. I wrote on the side of my Bible here, sick and broke. Not only sick, now she's broke because she spent all her money trying to get herself well, and that didn't work either. And of course, then it says, when she had heard of Jesus, she heard something. She came in the press behind and touched his garment. Now, I want to stop there for a moment. So she is now basing her faith on something she heard. Remember, didn't we study a few weeks ago, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, or hearing by the preached word, or hearing by the spoken word. Faith comes when we hear the word. Now, it's interesting when you look at these two, you've got a respected religious leader and an outcast. This woman has not been in church for 12 years. Why is that? She was unclean. 12 years. I want you to think of her disposition. She's coming to Jesus. She hasn't been in church for 12 years. No one in the synagogue is going to visit her because they won't be in church the next week. This is a very sad situation. This woman's desperate. So they are opposite ends of the spectrum. I mean, you've got, you know, in terms of the social order, you've got the synagogue ruler and a woman with a bleeding disorder. The ruler of the synagogue, the woman with the bleeding disorder, and that made her unclean under Levitical law. So this was a very, very challenging situation for her. And if you're interested in studying that, Leviticus 15, verse 25 through to 27, which you can make a note of. So she hears about Jesus, and she came behind in the press and touched his garment. Now, why'd she do that? Well, she said something. She says something. How is faith released? How is faith released? There's no active faith without words. And she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straight away the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue, that word virtue is power, and it's the Greek word dunamis, that's God power. He felt in himself that power had gone out of him. He turned about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? Now, to the natural person, and you're going to see that, to the disciples, natural thinkers, they say, what are you talking about? You're surrounded by people. But you stopped and you said, who touched me? A lot of people touched him, but this woman touched him with faith. See, when you touch God with faith, faith moves. Jesus stopped when Bartimaeus spoke faith. Stopped him. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords stopped him. I can't move on. Someone's pulling me because of faith. And he had to act on that. Oh, don't miss this. The only one in that crowd, the only one. Was she the only one who had a need? Was there no one that had medical needs in that crowd? Maybe financial needs, maybe relationship issues, a child that was not well. Are we honestly believing that she was the only one that needed medical care in that crowd? I don't believe that. But she said something. She said something. Oh, if I may touch his clothes, I'll be made whole. Straight away, that fountain of her blood dried up. Straight away, a supernatural miracle occurred because she touched him. So Jesus says, who touched me? And his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you, pressing against you, and you say, who touched me? Disciples said, you see? You see? He didn't want to see through natural eyes. They were. That's all they saw, was through natural eyes. They weren't seeing through spiritual eyes. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They didn't get it. Jesus was seeing through the eyes of faith. They weren't. Don't you see? He doesn't want us to see. He wants us to believe. And it takes time in this book to get to a place where you actually believe that truth, that you aren't going to base your life on what you see or what you feel or what someone's done to you, but what this book says. And if you take that book as your truth, your life changes. But if you don't, it doesn't. It doesn't. Your life doesn't change if you don't act on this book and make it your reality. It can't change. You want it to change. You want everything to be good, but you can't let go of something because you're seeing and feeling and acting on things that may have hurt you. But the word's saying, this is a pathway forward. This is what you do to walk in the victory. This is a dominion blessing that I've given you. Take it. But you can choose to live in defeat. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. Deuteronomy 30:19, that I've set before you life and death, blessing or cursing, choose life. If you're going to choose life, you've got to choose life words. Amen. Faith is life. Faith are words of life. They're not death. Don't speak it. If Jairus had said, and you're going to see something in a minute, if Jairus had have gone off his narrative, and what was his narrative? Listen to it. Come, lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. So he's walking with Jesus and this woman gets in the way. He's thinking, she's dying. There's no record he said anything. What are you doing? You're coming? No, Jesus had to respond to faith. Think about it. All the people, one received. The woman who had faith. Let's keep going. Verse 32, and he looked around about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman fearing and trembling, why do you think she was fearing and trembling? There's a rule of the synagogue right there. Jesus is a respected rabbi. I just touched the hem of his garment. I hope that doesn't prevent him going into synagogue and teaching. She knows that this is right outside Levitical law, but she superseded law, hallelujah. She superseded the law and she stepped over into the grace of God. All those that were not believers, as in Jewish believers, all those that received from God that were Gentiles, non-Jews, they stepped over into grace. That's how they received from God. Such a wonderful thing. All the Gospels are such a reflection of God's grace. But let's keep moving for the sake of time. And of course, verse 34, and he said unto her, the woman fearing, trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down and told all the truth. She told all the truth. And just a point on that, Jesus made a request to know who touched him. But for the woman, it was embarrassing. It would have been daunting, even humiliating. But Jesus had purpose in asking. I want you to think about it. It gave the woman an opportunity to obey. It was a witness to others. Could this have been a great encouragement to Jairus, who was standing in faith for his daughter? So Jairus sees this act of faith. He sees a miracle. This would have encouraged Jairus. Jesus confirmed her relationship. He said, daughter, your faith has made you whole. That word whole is sozo, which is complete, sound, nothing broken, nothing needing fixing. So, you know, he confirmed her relationship and Jesus reassured her of her complete healing and wholeness. Go in peace, you are whole of that plague. So Jesus was able to respond to her and gave her great encouragement. And of course, verse 35, while he yet spoke, there came a rule of the synagogue's house certain which said, your daughter is dead. Now things get pretty serious. Your daughter's dead. Why are you troubling the master any further? Can I say this? Death never troubled Jesus. Did it? Death never troubled him. That's number one. Why are you troubling the master? She's dead. Well, death didn't trouble him. Death bowed to him. He's got the keys of death and hell, has he not? This is the God that we serve. Hallelujah. So apparent delay can rob us of our faith. This is where it all could have gone pear-shaped for Jairus. This is where it could have unraveled. He could have responded to that. He said, what do you mean she's dead? No, he said nothing. But Jesus clearly picked up and discerned something. Look at his response. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Believe what? Come, lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. What he's saying is, believe what you said. Don't withdraw from what you spoke. Believe. Stop the fear. Only believe. So clearly, fear was trying to grip him. Here's the devil, see? Told you so. She's dead. Too late. Can't help you now. And he said, stop the fear. Stop the fear. Fortunately, Jairus hadn't opened his mouth and spoke something which would have ripped up his seed of faith. And that's the greatest tragedy of most Christians in the earth today. They rip their seed of faith up because they can't hold on to the word. They let the circumstances and the enemy's lies cause them to override the word and speak doubt and unbelief. Don't do it. Trust God with his word and God will come through. Let's keep reading. Hallelujah, for the sake of time.
Verse 36 again, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, don't be afraid, believe. And he suffered no man to follow him except Peter, James, and John, and the brother James. And he came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, and he saw the tumult and them that wept and wailed. You got this group of people mourning and wailing, all carrying on because she's dead. Look at Jesus' response. Look at his response. Hallelujah. And when he came into the, and they wailed greatly. Verse 39, and when they came in, he said to them, why make this ado? Why are you weeping? This damsel, this little girl, she's not dead. She's asleep. She's not dead. She's asleep. Jesus knew how to speak faith, did he not? You know, Jesus wasn't moved when when Lazarus died. He hung around another 2 days preaching before he went up. He knew. And he said to his disciples, it's okay, Lazarus sleeps. And they said, well, if he's asleep, why are you going to wake him up? And he said, Lazarus is dead. I need to tell you the truth. He's dead. But I'm going to, you know, show God's power. Death didn't move him. He said, she's not dead. She's asleep. Words of faith. Words of faith. Jairus is listening to this. Something must have rose up in him. Whew. She's not dead. She's just asleep. He needed to hear that. Keep reading. And they laughed him to scorn. People laugh at faith until they need a miracle. But when he had put them out, he took the father and the mother of the daughter and them that were with him and entered in where the damsel was. So he's got Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, John, mother, and the father. And he took the damsel, the girl, by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumai, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say unto you, arise. Now, let's go back to the words that Jairus spoke. Come, lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. Is that exactly what happened? Exactly. Exactly what he said happened. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. Now he had opportunities to say, it's too late. Your daughter's dead, don't trouble the master. That's too late. They're all crying and they're all wailing. You know, you've got the professional mourners at the house. Well, it's too late. He didn't move from his position of faith. That's why she got raised up. Have a look at it. And straight away, verse 42, the damsel, the girl, arose and walked, for she was of age of 12, and they were astonished with a great astonishment. Astonished with a great astonishment. Wow. Wow. See, faith calls those things that be not as though they are. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. And I'm going to wake her up. That's how you've got to see faith. That's how you've got to see it. And this is, again, this is just an introduction of where we're going with this. Faith is released through words. That's how faith is released. All through Scripture, there's evidence that strongly supports that truth. The only way faith is going to be active in our lives is when we take this word and we speak it in faith. That activates faith. That allows us to be overcomers. That allows us to operate in the dominion blessing that God spoke over man, which was always intended to be there for us. And now Jesus won it back for us at Calvary. So the church today, as we bring this to a close, we have that blessing in operation in our lives right now if we choose to walk in it. Now we can choose to ignore this. We can just say, oh, that was a good message on Sunday, Pastor, and go and speak unbelief. You can do it. But my encouragement to everyone this morning is understand the principle of faith. We can have what we say. We can have what we say. We can have what we say. Good and bad, blessing or curse, right or wrong, you can have what you say. So if your saying is aligned with the word of God and you're believing in your heart and speaking with your mouth, we believe and therefore we speak, then it's a good day for the believer. Amen. Faith is always released through words. And these two examples that we've just read this morning are such a great expression of that. God's no respecter of persons. Whether it was a ruler of the synagogue or the woman that was an outcast in society, they both received by faith. And that's the way we'll receive this morning if you will take this truth and make it yours. Amen? Amen. Faith must be released through words. Let's pray.